when you found your places, would you please rise? Give him liberty of speech and of mind to deliver the message of the hour, to bring forth unto our hearts and our minds, dear Heavenly Father, of those things which would edify us, of those things which would enlighten us and encourage us, those things which would strengthen us and unify us, and give us an uplifting of heart and of mind. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we always approach thy throne of mercy, it is with expectation that we might receive those things which are necessary for our spiritual well-being. And dear God, we pray continuously to be fed daily through thy Holy Spirit, and that thou would awaken within us always the desire to do those things which would be pleasing in thy sight. I pray for this church and for this people. I pray for your ministry. I pray for the work of this gospel which must go out. And I pray that thou would give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Give us spiritual discernment, that we would always know and recognize when the evil one is about, when he is about to cause disruptions, temptations, diversions in our life. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that thou would be with thy church and with thy people, and give us of thy blessing. Be with our brothers and sisters who are in Grand Junction, and watch over them, dear God, as they travel to their home. For many are traveling in many different directions, and I pray that thou would watch over and keep them safe upon the highways and the skyways. Protect them, dear Heavenly Father, and bring them home safe to us. And I will pray always for the safety of all of thy children everywhere. And I pray for each and every one upon the face of this earth, that the day will soon come, and every man, woman, and child shall hear and know and understand thy beautiful gospel. And now I pray that we have prepared ourselves as well to receive now that which thou would have for us. And I would ask it and pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
You turn to number 236. When you found your places, would you once again rise?
Voice and
on instruments combining, all confess that Christ is Lord. Bless his name, oh how sweet over earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, how sweet over earth and joy of heaven. And now, as we prepare to hear the word of the Lord spoken to us by our brother Harold, I pray that we have come with our hearts and our minds prepared to receive the message that God would have for us at this time. Now, if you give our brother your careful and your prayerful attention, our brother Harold. Thank you.
Good evening. You know, I feel at home here, probably for a different reason than we were speaking of earlier today. You see, until recent years, the congregations I spoke before were quite small. So I should feel at ease, shouldn't I, tonight? The question I want to pose, or questions that I want to pose, are: who are you and what are you? Let's say this is being asked by our Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, to us: who are we and what are we? Not to the world, but what are we and who are we to him? It means an awful, awful lot. You know, the question he could ask is, do we keep his commandments? In Luke, the 6th chapter, I want to read a couple of verses. Several verses, starting with the 31st verse. Christ is speaking, and he says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them, do thee also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." You know, it's very hard, I guess, for us to understand that with the way of life, with our means of life, the means of gaining a living, because normally if you lend, if you have the money, let's say, to lend, why, you would rather reap some reward from it, some interest from it. And many times in this day and age, if you were to lend, it might be that you have to take from yourself your own livelihood to lend. But again, if you have it to take from your livelihood to lend, is it really needed in your life? But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. When we think how blessed we are sometimes, and we really know down deep that we haven't lived the life that we should live or could have lived, yet we have good health and strength. We do not want, need anything. We desire things. Then we can understand this a little bit. As it said, the Lord blesses the unjust as well as the just. The fact that we here, all together, sitting here tonight, that we all have the food and raiment that's necessary, we all have the means of making a living. Some may be a little better than others, but none of us really need. Are any of us going destitute, hungry, naked? No, none of us. And because the Lord has blessed us this much, does this mean that we are the righteous? Or does this mean that the Lord is blessing us in hopes, these are my words, in hopes that we will turn over a new leaf and that we will try harder than we have to be worthy of the blessings that he gives us? Many times you give things when you don't feel, well, I can't really afford that. But, oh, they sure can use it. You know, any of us have never lost by so doing. The Lord continues and says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. I wonder if good works are judged. Praise, does that mean judgment? Usually when we think of judge not, lest ye be judged, we think of, well, this person isn't doing as they should, and I wouldn't do that way. No, I just wouldn't be seen doing that. We are judging that person. But when we say, they're a wonderful person, see what they're doing, it's so good, do we call that judgment or would we call that praise? Mostly all my life, judgment to means, well, it's like you go before a court of law, and usually any judgment is not in your favor. So in my life, I've looked upon judgment in that respect. If someone is outstanding, someone does something that you really believe is wonderful, then you praise them. You don't really judge them. This is the way I've looked at things. Maybe that isn't the right way. He continues and said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, Christ is not telling, these words of his are not saying things that we shouldn't do. He is telling us who we can be and what we can be. He's telling us how. much of the time in his words, he uses different possibly experiences of others, different parables. When he speaks of a person that was this way or that or whatever. But yet it all is enlightenment to us. If we live as he would have us to live, if we keep his commandments, then we'll be paving the way. I'm not going to say the way to salvation, because we've got a long ways to go before we get there. We'll be paving a way to better works. I want to turn to Mark, the 12th chapter. I'll read two verses, the 30 and 31st. Christ is speaking, and he says, "You know this one, you all know this by heart, but I'm going to read it again. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." You know, you give different things to loved ones, your children, wife, husband, mother, father, your friends. You give material things. And when you see the joy that comes when you do these things, does it bring happiness to you? Does it make you feel good? Does it bring a peace? A greater joy than normally would be? Now, we can't give the Lord material things. But by giving our love and love those about us, we not only please the Lord, because we do this, we bring greater joy to ourselves, don't we? Oh, there's many instances in life. That we do some little thing out of just, we say, expression is the goodness of our hearts. I don't mean it that way. I mean it deeper than that. Out of just a feeling of compassion, of love, of care, we do something. Not thinking beforehand, well, this is a good thing, I'll do a good thing. No, but just on the spur of the moment, you do something. Then what reward do you reap then? You all have done things like this. What reward do you get? Don't you get that beautiful, wonderful feeling? You haven't asked for it. You haven't thought about that's what you're going to do to get it. But it comes to you. And that is a blessing that you receive. No. It's not food for your body. But it sure is spiritual food. And it sure makes the desire stronger within you to live a life that you might have more of these things. We tithe ourselves materially. And then we tithe ourselves in our desire to live the gospel. Tithing means giving something. We tithe in money, material things. It's something material that we give. But then when we tithe ourselves, our labor, and not only our labor, but our thoughts, our very desires. If no other way, we take time out to go to the Lord and lay things before Him. Yes, we usually ask for blessings because we can't get by without them. We need them. We need the material blessings, but we need the spiritual blessings. We're not going to have life, truly have life, without those spiritual blessings. But when we open up to the Lord for our own needs and the needs of those around about us, not just as a matter of course, oh, many times we do this. We'll offer our prayers and we remember those about us, those who someone has asked us to be mindful of them. We hold them up to the Lord. But then when it is yourself, and you are in a great need, let's say, for instance, that you're in extreme pain, then you turn to the Lord and beseech Him to take that pain from you. It is extreme. And you ask Him to take it from you. Aren't you more sincere? Isn't it more from within you, not just a manner of speech? It's something you desire, something you want, something you hope that the Lord will grant unto you. Many times if you're asked, you know, out in public somewhere, I've had occasion or two, to be at quite an assembly at a big dinner. Up in Michigan, I was chosen a couple, 3 years to offer the opening prayer when we had a meeting. It was for different purposes, but mostly for the welfare of those who had been through the past year, who had been working for this company. And you know, I couldn't stand before that group. I knew I couldn't. And just on the spur of the moment, come up with a prayer that I thought would be suitable before the Lord and before them too. So I thought about it in advance and sort of memorized some of what I would say. Well, I said part of what I memorized, but then my desire took over. And I spoke of things that I hadn't planned to speak of. And they accepted it. I found no repercussions of any kind. They're talking about when we do offer up our prayers in dire need, in all sincerity, not just as an afterthought. This, in a way, is praise to the Lord. We know that He has that power to grant unto us those things that are necessary. But in a time like this, because it's so much from the heart, so much from within, we are praising Him by recognizing that He can grant that unto us if it is His pleasure. He has that power. Who and what are we? Are we as servants? Do we hear and not do? We all remember what the Lord has said about that. If we hear and not do, we might as well not have heard. We know, but don't do. Turn to Matthew. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Starting with verse 37. No, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm lost completely. We're told he that hath father, that loveth father and mother more than Christ is not worthy of him. We must not forget that our greatest love is for our Father in heaven and for his Son Jesus Christ. But our love is also for others. Remember, he has even told us that we must love our enemies. Well, that's an awful task, isn't it? It's awfully hard. If you ever sat right down somebody that wasn't probably your enemy, but you thought, oh, I just can't condone the things they do, this is for sure. And the things that they do, because they do them, they offend me, and I can't think much of this person. Then you know the Lord has said that you must pray for them, that you must even love them. Then you get down and you start opening yourself up. And the best way I've found at this is to put yourself in their place. If I were doing these things, why would I be doing them? Is it because I don't know, because I don't understand? Don't I want to do the right thing? When you put yourself in their place, you can usually see reason why they do this. And I can't help it. But then you feel sorry for them. And tell me you can't pray for anyone you feel sorry for. I don't care who it is. If there's concern in your heart for them, you can pray for them, no matter how bad they are. Even though you wouldn't desire to do those things that they have, that they are doing, that you don't care about at all. In John, the 14th chapter and 13th verse, Christ is speaking and he says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." By us asking the Father, as we, you always do, when we offer our prayer, we speak to our Father in heaven. And we ask it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But in asking these blessings for ourselves, for others, whatever we may ask for that is good, we are then praising the name of our Father. And because we ask it in Jesus' name, in Christ's name, we are glorifying him. And he was sent on this earth to do the will of the Father. So in turn, it is glorifying the Father in his name. In other words, you are praising both. This is one of the commandments that we have, that we must pray always, not faint. When we do ask, when we do pray for things, or even give thanks, not a prayer of desire, of want, of blessings, but when we give a prayer of thanks for that which we have received, if it isn't done in humility, sincerely, we might not as well have done it. It'd be better left unsaid if we really aren't thankful. You know, we each have a lot of faults. I got a lot of them too. Probably many that you don't have. Probably some that you do have. And it's just possible that maybe a fault of yours or two is greater than mine. But if we could always pray for the good things for those when we see a fault. Yes, we judge within ourselves. We're not telling people this person isn't doing as they should or thing. But when we see someone that we believe is possibly doing a little worse than we judge them. And then we feel, oh, I'm glad I don't do those things. When maybe that person is looking at me and saying, oh, I'm glad I'm not doing those things he's doing. Wouldn't we each be much better off? Wouldn't we each feel much better inside that if we tried to pick that person apart, if we instead, that fault, yes, I see it's there, but let's bypass that one. Let's bypass it. What has he or she done that, oh, they've done this, they've done this. They're wonderful people in doing this and this. If we could only see the things that they have done. There have been times in my life when I've been hurt, very much so. And you know, times when you're hurt, many times you just want to strike out. If nothing else, you want to say something back to that person. In other words, you want to get even. And it's awfully hard when you first start. Then you offer prayer, Lord, take the discontent from me. Help me to love this person. Forgive me. You know, just saying that doesn't make it work. But if you can truly bring yourself to desire to praise that person's good points instead of judging their bad ones. I'm not saying people will pat you on the back. People won't know about it because you aren't going to tell them about it. But what a wonderful feeling you have within you. And many times how the Lord does bless you. He touches you with his spirit. And oh, you feel so good. And those are the moments that help you to strive and desire to do greater things for the Lord because you desire that spirit, those blessings from that spirit in your life. And you realize that you cannot get along. Oh, you can for a while, but then you get to hate yourself. You can't get along without it. You can't live your life without the Lord in it. It isn't peaceful. There's no contentment. In Mosiah, the 8th chapter, the 82nd verse, says he is, meaning Christ, that light and the life of the world, yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless, that there can be no more death. Who are we and what are we? Are we servants? Are we serving the Lord? In Samuel, the 2nd chapter, 24th verse, a little bit from that. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. In other words, serve the Lord in thankfulness, not asking for blessings, but serve him in thankfulness because of his blessings. In Matthew 6, chapter 24th verse, it tells us, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Well, when I first started, I spoke of the faults that we may have, each of us. And because we have those faults, we dislike ourselves, we're disgusted with ourselves at times, because we can't mend them more than we do. We try and we slip. And we try again and then we slip some more. And it seems we just aren't going to control this one. But I don't find ourselves hating the God because of it. If we did, we wouldn't even try to overcome. Even though we fail so much, we wouldn't even try to overcome. In John the 12th chapter, one of the verses says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I don't imagine that honor would be very lightly given. In Colossians, 3rd chapter, it says, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And here, inheritance means, I believe, salvation with Christ. For ye serve the Lord, for ye, here, let me read it again. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, or salvation with Christ, for ye serve the Lord Christ. In other words, you aren't going to have any reward from the Lord unless you do serve him. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. I like this verse in 3rd Nephi, the 6th chapter, the 15th verse. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? As I've been speaking about faults. I don't believe this means that we shouldn't be conscious of faults of others. Because many times by the faults in others we gain ourselves. It is one that we don't fall into. It is one that we can avoid. So it is a lesson to us. But if we do notice this fault in someone, I think then we should turn to ourselves immediately and think, am I doing any better than that? I don't mean by what I'm saying that we should think the faults of others are something that is good. I don't mean that. It is something that if we did what we should, we would pray about. Very seldom can we go to someone, no matter how much we love them, and tell them of their fault. Usually there is offense. About our only way is through our prayers that the Lord also. We are all in the same boat. We all take offense, some of us more than others, when we shouldn't take offense. But it's just normal and natural. Natural, at least, while Satan is out there prodding us a little bit. I'm reading 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. Starting with the 66th verse. Christ again is speaking, and he says, "And behold," now he was speaking to the people among the Nephites at his coming to them after his crucifixion and resurrection. But this means us also. "And behold, I have given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit." If you come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, there is no offense within in you. You don't feel offended. You feel as humble as you would ever get. "Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, I haven't read all the commandments he given, but most of you know most of them. You know enough of them to know that the commandments that he has given, if obeyed, will grant unto you salvation with him in the hereafter. But so many times we try to twist those commandments a little. "Well, we can get by with this just a little bit." That doesn't mean to be that strict. We all do it. "I'll start tomorrow. I'll turn over a new leaf tomorrow." So something has happened today. Well, I should say something to that person. I should tell them that this isn't the truth. We're just talking about the gospel a little. But then by the time tomorrow comes, and you've thought about it two or three times, you think, "I don't want to offend them. And if I talk to them, it might raise some contention. Oh, this is one of my great faults." I wouldn't want to speak to anyone in any way at all that would want to turn them away from what might be taught to them of the gospel. Yesterday, Janelle and I had occasion to speak to a lady She asked us what church we were from, and we told her. And of course, she says, some of our beliefs, and Junella said something about we believe in the Book of Mormon. Oh, the Mormons. Well, as it turns out, this lady originally came from, just within the last couple of years, came from Independence, Missouri. We said, no, we aren't Mormons. Well, the RLDS. I said, no, we're not the RLDS. Well, she kind of lost interest then. Because if we weren't Mormons or RLDS, we weren't big enough to be noticed, I don't suppose. But again, when you're talking to people that way, anything that you might say, even though you want to speak the truth, and you do speak the truth, you do it in such a way that you don't want to offend. To be good servants, we each have sins to repent of. There's so much in our lives that need doing. We think so many times that I'm not doing so bad. There's others around me that are doing worse. But that is absolutely no excuse. The fact that they're doing worse than we are doesn't mean that we're doing as we should. We must be conscious. If we could at all, if we could see ourselves in the light that the Lord sees us, try and remember His commandments. And as I look upon Harold, as much as I can as the Lord would see me, you know, I don't see what's good before me at all. There is so very, very much that must be mended. We are so weak. Many things were strong, but in all of the things that we should be strong in, we are not. Yes, we each have sins to repent of day by day. And that means that we must always be aware of who we are and what we are. Thank you.
Let's remember the announcements. You'll turn your hymnals to number 217. When you find your places, would you once again rise? Heavenly Father, I pray that Thou would burn within our hearts and our minds and our memories the things not only that we have learned this day, but of the things which have been taught us in days past. I pray that these things will always be in our remembrance. and that we will live our lives daily, feasting upon thy word and meditating upon thee, and that we will keep our lives spotless, that we might have on the white wedding gown when the day comes that thou would call us home, whether it be on the return of thy Son, or if thou shalt choose to call us prior. I pray that we shall be prepared, and that our lives might be fruitful in good works. And now as we go our separate ways, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that it will be with thy safety and with thy love. And I ask it and pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you.